Hi, I'm Stephen Vincent. Thank you for joining me today for the Freedom Message for November 1st, 2007. We're pleased to have as our guest today Mr. Brian Gentry, the Ron Paul campaign manager in the state of South Carolina. Today, they did open the South Carolina office for the Ron Paul campaign, and Ron Paul was present, and we'll be getting an on-the-road report from Mr. Gentry shortly. In about 15 to 20 minutes, and we'll be bringing that for you. Today I'll also be reporting to you on the Time Magazine lead article on timemagazine.com, and I'll also be talking about the Cheyenne, Wyoming television news coverage received on two different channels there. Bruce Fine has written an article about the Michael Mukasey nomination for Attorney General. I'll be sharing that with you. And Fox News is accusing Ron Paul supporters of using spam bots to spam the internet with email. We'll also be having a look at a discussion with George Will in the ABC News Green Room on Ron Paul. Hutton Gibson, the father of Mel Gibson, has endorsed Ron Paul for president. That and more coming to you today on this edition of the Freedom Message. And we're going to go ahead first and have a look at some commercials that were produced by Ron Paul supporters in the Liberty, I believe it's called the Liberty Coalition PAC. And they formed a political action committee to produce media. And I believe that the organization that that spearheaded this is called Operation NH, Operation New Hampshire. And we're going to go ahead and share those new commercials with you right now.
Yep, sir.
The message is freedom and a call to rein in a runaway government. A future depends on everyday Americans rising to the challenge as their forefathers once did and fighting now for change. Real. America was founded on an idea.
That set it apart from
the very government
entrusted to serve its people.
This is not right.
Who would America's founding father today to restore what they fought and died for
over two centuries ago? There's only one real choice.
All right, so I'm back. So there you have two commercials from the American Liberty Coalition Political Action Committee, and those will apparently be airing shortly in, I believe, Iowa. So thanks very much to the folks who put those together. Good work. It goes to show what you can do if you pool your money together with other people, raise some funds in a political action committee. And let me go ahead and we're going to have a look at some of this material from Cheyenne, Wyoming. And we've got a couple of news reports from Cheyenne that I wanted to share with you. Oops, wrong one. Be with you in a second on that.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Out there. George mentioned, you know, maybe a little bit of a resurgence going on with the McCain campaign. What do you guys think? Is that
news probably than he really wanted to know.
And George asked him about would he be good
this morning. He was impressed because to say, and he made more news probably.
I think it is true that media have always loved him, and everyone in the media is happy to see him coming. About how America has always had
terrible time, but a totalitarian regime, not quite. Iran, it was sort of without limits, but you know, could he hurt McCain? You know, taking some of those in 2 months, or is he just a passing fad?
I can't imagine. But, you know, Ron Paul is actually a true conservative.
Security.
He wants to go back on the gold standard. He's the real thing. These other guys, in some sense, aren't. But I don't think that's enough.
If he's the Republican version of Howard Dean, you know, will have a big impact because of resonance with the true believers, but ultimately not.
I think the Republican Party isn't structured the way the Democratic Party is. I can't just, you know, there isn't that kind of. There isn't an independent base in that sense. It's much more organized, so I can't see it. But, you know, it is interesting. I have to actually talk to people who are somewhat liberal who hear him on the war and life, and I say, do you know what he says about Social Security? Have you thought about that? So he's got a lot of appeal.
As long as we're talking about New Hampshire and the Republicans, George Will, Rudy Giuliani this week, Red Sox fan. What's your reaction to that?
He's going where the votes are.
He's going where the votes are.
I mean, a Yankees... fans not supposed to like the Red Sox, but about a quarter of New Hampshire people are there because they used to live in Massachusetts, and that's where the votes are. That's ground center of Red Sox Nation.
But do you agree with the New York tabloids calling him a traitor? I mean, are they right?
No. He's an American League guy.
You live in New York, right?
Or no, I don't.
No, you live in New Jersey.
I live in New Jersey.
New Yorker. I'm a New Jersey guy.
I think you have to be careful. I think remember the reaction to Hillary when she first declared herself a New York sports fan. So I think we're prepared to accept a lot of flip-flopping in politicians, but surely the one thing that you should be able to just declare from your heart is your sports team.
Well, that's a place he doesn't need to shore up his base because he doesn't have one.
Well, on that note, I think we'll call it a day. Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Good to see you.
While Duncan Hunter supports the troop surge, Texas Congressman Ron Paul does not. In a rally at Depot Square this afternoon, Paul said the United States should not control the world. As president, Paul vowed to end the war in Iraq and bring troops home. Paul says America should not be in a position of defending a war America started.
It is precisely because we're over there messing around and we would react the same way. What would we do if the Chinese invaded us?
Paul voted against the troop surge and was one of six Republicans who voted against the war in Iraq in 2002. Paul's visit to Cheyenne is his first in his bid to win the Republican presidential nomination. Well, the race to the White House hits Wyoming, of course, and for some Cheyenne residents, they're calling it a revolution.
It's called the Ron Paul Revolution, and for one Cheyenne man, he says it's a following that needs to be heard loud and clear.
On a sunny afternoon at Depot Square, they came in bunches. But this bunch is no ordinary bunch. They're part of a revolution.
Ron Paul is the only candidate of choice because he's the only candidate running who not only knows how to read the Constitution, but actually knows how to adhere to the Constitution.
In the sea of revolutionaries is John Fakutaki. He's perhaps Ron Paul's biggest supporter.
He's an honest man. He's an honorable man.
Fakutaki got to Depot Square long before anybody else did, just to catch a glimpse of Ron Paul walking the center stage just after 1:30.
What a perfect day. What a perfect crowd. Good to have you.
In his speech, Paul talked issues that riled up the crowd for over 30 minutes.
In many ways, it's not a brand new revolution. There's been an ongoing revolution for a long time.
In the background, Fakutaki listened and waited for his chance to shake hands with the man leading the revolution.
The government then gets us involved, the people involved, in wars that we shouldn't be involved in and doing things that we should never be doing.
With the flags draped high in the Wyoming wind and supporters snapping pictures, Paul finishes his speech.
I'm Ron Paul, candidate for president. I'm Ron Paul, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
People lined up to meet the congressman. Shake meant so much more to John. Handshake meant so much more to John Fakutaki.
And he is the only man
supporting Ron Paul.
Okay, so there you have a couple of nice reports in local TV coverage in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Of course, an early primary state, so important that we've got some good word going out in Wyoming. What I'd like to do for you now is go ahead and get into this Time Magazine article, which appeared today. Now, I actually met the author of this article at the taping of the Jay Leno Show, and he asked me a few questions, and he spoke with other people present. And we'll get into this and discuss it after I read it for you right now. Time Magazine, Thursday, November 1st, 2007, The Ron Paul Revolution by Joel Stein. It sometimes seems as if someone is playing a cruel practical joke on Ron Paul. He goes to a college and delivers the same speech he's given for the past 30 years of his political career, the one espousing the Austrian School of Economics. Only now, the audience is packed with hundreds of kids in Ron Paul Revolution t-shirts who go nuts, giving standing ovations when he drones on about getting rid of the Federal Reserve and returning to the gold standard. After a speech at Iowa State last month, when nearly half of the crowd had to stand because there were only 400 seats, a hipster-looking student worked his way through the half-hour-long line to shake Paul's hand. This was surely it, the moment when the straight faces would break and Paul would be wedgied up the flagpole. When you see Bernanke, the kid says, will you tell him to stop cutting rates when gold hits $1,000? Politics might be rock and roll for nerds, but the nerds aren't supposed to be quite this nerdy. The leader of the disaffected in next year's presidential election, the Howard Dean, the Ross Perot, the Pat Buchanan, is a kindly great-grandfather and obstetrician whose passion is monetary policy. Paul, a 72-year-old hardcore libertarian, Republican congressman who is against foreign intervention, subsidies, and the federal income tax, is not only drawing impressive crowds, more than 2,000 at a post-debate rally at the University of Michigan last month, but also raising tons of cash. In the third quarter of 2007, Paul took in $5.3 million, just slightly less than GOP rival John McCain, mostly in small individual donations. On October 22nd, he aired his first TV ads, $1.1 million worth, in New Hampshire. The numbers are even more impressive considering that as of early October, 72% of GOP voters told Gallup pollsters they didn't know enough about Paul to form an opinion. He has been able to attract followers in the debates, where he's presented a clear, simple philosophy of personal freedom and responsibility. He bluntly refers to the U.S. as an empire, and the nerdiness lends Paul's simple message an aura of credibility, especially on a stage with more polished politicians and their nuanced positions. He's about something that American nerd culture can get on board with, really knowing one subject and going all out on it, says Ben Darrington, a Ron Paul supporter at Yale. For some people, it's Star Wars. For some people, it's Japanese cartoons. For Ron Paul, it's free market commodity money. The libertarian's traction is most apparent on the internet, where his presence far outstrips that of any candidate from either party. His name is most searched, his YouTube videos most watched, his campaign the topic of songs by at least 14 bands. The last thing I would listen to is rap, Paul says, but there's something going on when there's a rap song about the Fed. On Tuesday, both Paul and Tom Cruise were guests on the Tonight Show with Jay Leno. The actor went to Paul's dressing room to thank him for his work on a bill fighting the forced mental screening of grade school kids. Go, go, go hard, Cruise said. Paul turned to an aide and asked, what movies has he been in? Paul's fans, and there were more than 100 of them in Leno's audience, many of whom had flown in from out of town, are entranced by a man who responds to surprising information with wowee and a jaw-dropped smile not often seen apart from five-year-old boys and Muppets. It's the message, Ron isn't that exciting as himself, says Andre Marou, who was Paul's running mate when he ran as a libertarian in 1988. I saw him referred to in print as semi-eccentric. He's maybe 10% eccentric. It's his ideas that are eccentric, but it's basic Americanism. Paul is such a strict constructionist that he autographs pocket constitutions more often than Tommy Lee signs breasts. But Paul's popularity can't necessarily be explained by a previously undetected craving for gold standard debates on college campuses. His message, even if packaged in obscure economic lectures, is that there is something very corrupt, very Halliburton, black watery going on with our military-industrial complex, and that can attract some pretty weird followers. At the Iowa State event, a student stood outside in a tri-cornered hat and a Revolutionary War-era suit, ringing a bell. Representative Tom Tancredo, another long-shot GOP candidate, tells me that after a debate in New Hampshire, one of his staffers walked up to a guy in a shark costume and asked him if he was a Ron Paul supporter. No, they're all nuts, replied the shark. I'm just a guy in a shark suit. There is a subset of Ron Paul supporters who believe 9/11 was an inside job by the U.S. government. And there are anarchists as well. They've picked November 5th, Guy Fawkes Day, for a fundraising drive. His supporters are the equivalent of crabgrass, says GOP consultant Frank Luntz. It's not the grass you want, and it spreads faster than the real stuff. They just like him because he's the most anti-establishment of the candidates, the most likely to look at the camera during the debates and say, "Hey, Washington, F you." The one place Paul hasn't become a major player is where it counts, in the polls, where he hasn't broken above 5% and has yet to pass Mike Huckabee. Paul realizes he's not a favorite among pro-war, pro-Bush Republicans. A lot of times at my rally, I say, "We're diverse, we even have some Republicans," he jokes. His largest meetup.com group gathers in liberal Austin, Texas. Another sizable one is in San Francisco. And he isn't sure where all this sudden support will lead. Paul doesn't expect that he will win the nomination, and he has no interest in running as an independent again. But he also doesn't see himself endorsing one of the other Republicans in the general election. "Those people who support me wouldn't believe it," he says. "If I said Giuliani's a great guy and he'll reduce subsidies and bring the troops home, I couldn't do that." Even nerd revolutions don't surrender. So, that is the Time Magazine article published today on Time.com. My personal opinion is I give it a D. Let's see. On my grade scale, an F would mean total hatchet job. A D means failure with only enough marginal positive points to save it from the classification of an F. In other words, a total hatchet job. I'm singularly unimpressed with this gentleman's writing. I don't know. I guess it is, say Time Magazine is written for the 7th grade level. I was present at the Jay Leno show taping, and I am fully aware of the crowd that was there. This article paints Ron Paul supporters as kids, geeks, hipsters, basically nerds. Let's see. Let's have a look at the adjectives that are used. Joke, kids, nuts, drones on, hipster looking, nerds, nerdy. Let's see. Hardcore libertarian, passion for monetary policy, nerdiness, nerd. He's a libertarian, eccentric, constructionist. Excuse me, that should be constitutionalist. He's been undetected, obscure, pretty weird followers. Reference to a shark costume, which of course gets attached mentally to Ron Paul. 9/11, anarchist, Guy Fawkes Day, crabgrass, FU, something non-Ron Paul would never say, liberal, nerd revolution. And he doesn't expect that he will win the nomination. Now, this is just a few things that I picked out. This is a total mischaracterization and a total misrepresentation of Ron Paul's supporters, and does not give a picture of the reality on the ground of Ron Paul supporters and the Ron Paul revolution. I would say maybe 30 to 40% of the people that were at the Jay Leno taping were under the age of 30. The majority of people were working adults with families and professional careers. Okay? The characterization given here is one basically of a bunch of loons, not something that you can take seriously. It's just this year's excuse for Howard Dean, the Ross Perot, the Pat Buchanan. He's just appealing to people that are disaffected, on the outside, not really part of the mainstream. And this just simply isn't true. What we're experiencing with the Ron Paul revolution is an awakening on the part of average Americans about what is going on concretely, actually, currently, truly in this country on many different levels, in terms of our lack of constitutional government, in terms of the increasing size of government and increasing scope of government and increasing use of power by the elite that have hijacked our government. And on just many different levels, the war, the economy, the lack of a sound constitutional monetary system, and the consequences of that, people are waking up to these very real, very concrete, and very true realities. That's why they're coming to Ron Paul and the Ron Paul campaign. The impression one would get from this is something that it's some kind of wacky cult, basically, is what it comes off at. You know what? I'm going to give this an F. I changed my mind. I give this an F. The only saving grace here is two. One, the name is out, Ron Paul. And the other is that he is at several different points admitting that Ron Paul actually does have a following, but it all gets swept away with just a single comment where he says, where it counts, it doesn't seem to have had any kind of an effect, and that is in the polls. He says that's where it counts, but they don't seem to have had any effect in that arena. Okay, hold on just a second. I've got a call coming in that I need to take. Good. So I'm working alone today because there are actually the guy who produces the show for me in the studio is at bbsradio.com is actually having his wife's giving birth right now. So I had to take Brian Gentry's call. He's got about 10 minutes to work with right now, and we're going to go ahead and have him.
Hello.
Hi, Mr. Gentry. Hi, Brian. This is Stephen Vincent from the Freedom Message.
Hey, Stephen. How are you doing?
Good. How are you? So, why don't you go ahead and fill folks in today on the event that you had this morning in South Carolina?
It was this afternoon. Dr. Paul flew into Greenville, and we had a grand opening at our new headquarters in Greenville County, and it worked out great. We probably turned out, let's say, 400 people or so, filled up the place, and it had the sound system and everything set outside, and he spoke to the crowd standing on the steps, and they were all in the parking lot. It was about 400 people, so it was great. And now we're in Spartanburg at their GOP Executive Committee meeting. He's actually in a private room doing an interview with CNN, which is here, and they're going to have a microphone on during his speech, and he's going to come out at 7:30 and speak to the GOP, and there's a roaring crowd here, too. The place is packed.
So this is a general South Carolina GOP gathering, and that he'll be speaking to.
Yes, it's a monthly executive committee meeting where all the different people from the precincts get together and go through their business, and they're going to do their normal business from 7 to 7:30, and then they're going to introduce Dr. Paul. He's going to speak for 15 or 20 minutes and then take some questions and do some answers. So.
I see. And he's the only candidate present for this?
He is the only candidate president.
Okay, great. Now, when...
It's the second largest GOP in the state. And where we're at today in Greenville is the largest GOP. So.
Excellent. Sounds like some great coverage and great exposure for the campaign. When is the actual primary in South Carolina? I know it's very early.
On Saturday, January the 19th. Polls open at 7 and they close at 7.
Okay. And do South Carolinians have to be registered Republican to vote for Dr. Paul in this primary?
No, they sure don't. It's open to anyone. You can only vote in one. You choose a Democrat or Republican, but you don't register by party here, so you can do it. Anybody can come vote for Dr. Paul on January 19th. So.
Okay, great. And what do you see as being the primary issues for Dr. Paul in South Carolina. I know that there's a very strong Christian conservative element in the electorate in South Carolina. Is that a big factor?
Oh yes, they have they're very influential here, the evangelicals, but a lot of them are actually supporting Dr. Paul. We had the Palmetto Family Council start meeting with Charles Paul, you know, about a month back. I believe someone talked to you that night.
That's right.
During that, we finished second with 179 votes, and it was $50 to come and vote. So. But yeah, there's actually, I was somewhere the other day, and I met a couple of pastors, and they're supporting Dr. Paul. So they're all strict constitutionalists. A lot of the independent Baptists are here, like the Chuck Baldwin Baptists. So.
Right. That was my next question to you. Would be, you know, how is the constitutionalist theme playing in South Carolina?
How's it being what now?
How's the constitutionalist theme playing in South Carolina? Is that something that people are picking up?
Oh, it plays great. I mean, I've been in a lot of states, and South Carolina, the people here are very liberty-minded, and they're very states' rights and strict constitution. They just want to, rightly so, the federal government to leave them alone and let them handle their own state affairs and their own local affairs, and just let the federal government stick to the Constitution and, you know, secure our borders. That's a big issue here, too, is illegal immigration.
Mm-hmm. And I know that abortion must be a really big issue. It seems like at some point when it comes to the abortion question, people that are very anti-abortion want to use the power of the state to enforce their view on the entire country, and sometimes can be uncomfortable with the state's rights issue on approach to that issue, because they're afraid that in certain circumstances the state is going to determine that in fact abortion could be legal. So that can be a very tricky question, it seems sometimes.
Yes, well, people have been very receptive to that, because you know you've got the two bills, the Life at Conception Act, which actually has a clause in there that would remove federal jurisdiction over the state court, so it would leave it up to the states, and then the We the People Act also has a provision that would do the same thing. And people actually, like some of the independent, like pro-life groups, they all understand that strict constitution, you should have leave it up to the states. I mean, and his bills would overturn Roe v. Wade and turn it back over to the states, and then that would pretty much end abortion on demand in America. So. People are actually on board with that. When I go around and speak, I usually, because everyone knows where he stands on foreign policy here, but a lot of people don't know that, you know, being a champion of the Constitution means that he's also against gun control. He's, never voted for tax increases. A lot of people are unfamiliar with his pro-life stance, and once they hear that, they're actually starting to become more receptive to his foreign policy. I think they realize that, wow, you know, maybe we should listen to this guy more.
Absolutely, absolutely. And do we have active, very active meetup groups there in South Carolina, in Columbia?
Oh yes, they're all over the state. There's a big meetup group in Columbia that meets every couple of weeks, and they usually average 30 people or so at their meetings. There's a big meetup group in Myrtle Beach. There's a big one in Charleston. There's a big one in Greenville, Greer, Anderson, and a couple others throughout the state. So yes, they're very active. Our volunteer base is very big, so. It's great having, if there's any supporters out there listening in South Carolina, we sure do appreciate it. It's amazing, you know, some campaigns, a lot of times, that's the hardest thing to do is get volunteers, but with our people, you know, they're the lifeblood of the campaign. They're out working all day, and there was people at the office this morning at 9 o'clock in Greenville from North Carolina. They drove all the way down to South Carolina. They were there at 9 o'clock this morning to help out with anything that needed to be helped out with all day. So
great.
They're going to be at Clemson tomorrow, too, so.
Great. And what's the function of the actual physical office? Is this going to be a point from which people can organize canvassings and distribution of information and supplies, or how is that going to be used?
Yes, it's going to be open. It's long hours. We're open. It's open every day, Monday through Friday, from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. And then on Saturday, it's open from 10 to 5, and we actually have 10 phone lines in the office, and we have volunteers come in and make phone calls in the evenings and call in ID voters and everything, and we also can meet up there to organize our canvassing efforts and then go out, and it's also a hub of information for anyone who's curious about Ron Paul, because there's Ron Paul signs everywhere. So I've had people when I was up there just stop by wanting to know, you know, I see signs everywhere, who is Ron Paul? And I'd say 9 out of 10, when you actually tell them what he stands for, they're right on board. So
absolutely.
We also have an office in Columbia too.
Oh, is that right?
And in Charleston.
Oh, okay. So you've got official Ron Paul offices in three cities in South Carolina, then?
Yes, sir. It's right across the state. And I'm going to have to run in a minute, but I want to make an announcement. Tomorrow at 1 o'clock, we're having a huge rally at Clemson, and we've got the Justin TV stuff, and I've never used it before, but going to figure it out tonight, and we will try to Justin TV the event at 1 o'clock tomorrow for everyone out there on the web. And also, we're having a big rally downtown in Columbia tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, and we're going to try to Justin TV that for everyone, too, so
excellent.
Everyone can watch. I know they want to see hear Dr. Paul's speeches and see what's going on, so, 'cause I always watch it myself.
Great. Well, I'll try to rebroadcast that material on this channel as well so that people can see it. And if there's ever anything that I can do for you in terms of making an announcement or reaching people, don't hesitate to give us a call here, and we'll make sure that we get the information out, or you come on the show with any kind of announcement or anything you want to tell people. I did hear that there is an effort to call South Carolina. I seem to have seen an email of some or a posting of some sort that people can help out by calling people in South Carolina. Is that correct?
I'm not too familiar with that. I believe it's maybe an independent effort.
Okay.
So, but just to avoid complications with the FCC and everything, I kind of just let that stuff go because all the people know what they're doing. So
right.
Kind of not a top down. It's more of a bottom up campaign. So.
All right. Well, thanks for all the hard work that you're doing there, and keep in touch and go get them.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you so much, Brian.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Okay, folks, so that was Brian Gentry, the Ron Paul campaign manager in the state of South Carolina, a very important early primary state. So we'll see what we can do about bringing some of that video feed for you tomorrow from either of those rallies, and of course, keep you up to date with everything as it transpires. So let's see what else we can do for you today. Let's go ahead and have a look at this. It's very brief, but the father of Mel Gibson, Hutton Gibson, an interesting gentleman, has endorsed Ron Paul. So we're going to go ahead and have a look.
My name is Hutton Gibson. I'm a veteran of World War II, and I intend to tell my 10 children and my 48 grandchildren that the only way we can save the country is to vote for Ron Paul in 2008.
Hutton Gibson endorsing Ron Paul. Just a little brief something. Thanks to the website voteronpaul.com for arranging that. Good job. I think it's would be very nice to see Mr. Mel Gibson himself, who's known to have very patriotic and libertarian leanings, to come out. Perhaps he will follow on his father's coattails and, in fact, endorse Ron Paul. And let's see what else we can bring for you today. We have this piece of video from the Green Room, and George Will is one of the people here discussing Ron Paul, the ABC News Green Room. So we'll have a little look at that, and we'll talk about that. Actually, wait, before, when Brian Gentry called, I was talking about that Time magazine. So let me just wrap that up. All right, as I've said, I'm just simply not giving this a pass. I'm just simply not giving this a pass. And I've received many emails in the past from being very critical of articles written in the mainstream media. But my feeling is that the way these articles come across is not accidental. Joel Stein doesn't work for himself, okay? Joel Stein works for a multi-trillion, million, billion-dollar mega media conglomerate Now, they have an agenda, and the agenda certainly does not include seeing Ron Paul become president of the United States. Now, certain individuals within news media organizations can certainly be influenced to an open and positive attitude, at least receptive attitude towards Ron Paul. And they have been, and we've seen this happen. But many people will simply take their orders and do as they're told because it's about career, it's about getting ahead. And I'm sure Joel Stein, you know, got his marching orders about how to present this article. And Ron Paul supporters in the whole Ron Paul scene is presented as a joke, as silly, as a bunch of geeks and kids, basically. You know, it's one of the first things that's mentioned here. Hundreds of kids, not young people, kids. Okay, so I'm not going to give this a pass. Sorry, I just find the whole piece really pretty much of poor quality. Poor quality because it just simply doesn't reflect reality. It just isn't true. It isn't accurate. It doesn't present a true sense of what it's like to be around Ron Paul people and what they're really all about. So, sorry, give you an F, Mr. Stein, on that article. Let's go ahead and have a quick look at this piece. Actually, no, we're going to go ahead and skip that. I'm going to go to a good article, something by Bruce Fine, who we have had on this show. And we had him on to discuss the American Freedom Agenda Act, which he helped Ron Paul draft. And he has now written an article in the Washington Post commenting on Michael Mukasey, who is being nominated to replace Alberto Gonzalez as Attorney General. Let me run through that for you from the Washington Post. Bruce Fine: President Bush has his Michael B. Mukasey Attorney General designate to defend his multiple challenges to the Constitution, just as King Henry VIII has had his Cardinal Wolsey to defend his nullity suit against Catherine of Aragon. During 2 days of confirmation hearings last week before the Senate Judiciary Committee, Mr. Mukasey echoed Mr. Bush's bloated conception of presidential powers. A few senators complained or voiced chagrin, but Mr. Mukasey's confirmation seems assured. By not leveraging confirmation to insist on an attorney general devoted to the Constitution's checks and balances, the Senate betrayed effeteness destined to culminate in government by presidential edict. Mr. Mukasey denounced torture as unconstitutional but declined to rebuke President Bush's signing statement issued in conjunction with the Detainee Treatment Act of 2005, claiming inherent constitutional power to torture to gather foreign intelligence. Indeed, Mr. Mukasey expressed no qualms about hundreds of Mr. Bush's signing statements declaring his intent to disregard provisions of bills he has signed into law that the president believes are unconstitutional. Signing statements are indistinguishable from absolute line item vetoes, which the United States Supreme Court voided in Clinton versus New York. They result in the enforcement of laws that Congress did not pass. Members vote to approve an entire bill, not an expurgated version prepared by the president. The Attorney General designate did not quarrel with Mr. Bush's unprecedented assertion of executive privilege to prevent current or former White House officials from testifying before congressional committees investigating crimes or maladministration. Nor did he quarrel with Mr. Bush's concealment of spy programs from Congress and hiding their legal justifications. In contrast to Justice Louis D. Brandeis, Mr. Mukasey did not endorse government in the sunshine as the best disinfectant. He did not subscribe to James Madison's philosophy that self-government is fatuous unless the people know what their government is doing to adjust their political loyalties accordingly. Mr. Mukasey has asserted that the government deserves a presumption of trust and honesty despite the notoriety of the executive branch, including the Bush administration, of lying to aggrandize power. President Lyndon B. Johnson lied about the North Vietnamese attacks on the USS Maddox and the USS Turner to justify the Gulf of Tonkin resolution. President Bush followed Johnson's instruction in lying about weapons of mass destruction in Iraq to justify invasion. Mr. Bush has logarithmically inflated the danger of international terrorism and a caliphate in the United States to a combination of Joseph Stalin, V.I. Lenin, Lenin Trotsky, Adolf Hitler, Hirohito, and Benito Mussolini combined to justify, among other things, permanent war, indefinite detentions of U.S. citizens as unlawful enemy combatants, and the kidnapping, imprisonment, and torture of terrorist suspects abroad. That from Mr. Bruce Fein, president of the American Freedom Agenda, who helped Ron Paul draft the American Freedom Agenda Act. So I think that is really important to be up on the Mukasey nomination and, of course, the other bill that's making its way through the Senate right now and has passed the House, the American, the Homegrown Terrorism and Violent Radicalization Prevention Act. I will be asking Mr. Fein to come back on the program to discuss that particular act as well. So let's go ahead now to the green room and see what George Will and come.
7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Have a good show, everybody.
Well, very nice roundtable out there. I want to actually start with one of the segments that came before you guys. Senator McCain out there, George mentioned, you know, maybe a little bit of a resurgence going on with the McCain campaign. What do you guys think? Is that, are we there yet?
He's doing much better with his base, which happens to be the media, which is why we need him.
I'm glad you got that, George. That's his term.
Beyond that, he looked very good this morning. He was impressed. He was deciding. He made more news probably than he really wanted to know. And George asked him about would he vote for the Attorney General nominee.
That pause was telling.
The pause was telling, and he clearly seemed to be one saying no. So we shall see.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, I think it is true that media have always loved him, and everyone in the media is happy to see him coming back. But I think it's also true that he has had some really good days.
Mm-hmm.
I thought in the debate his points about Hillary were well made. I think he's very convincing on torture and talking about how America has always had the moral high ground and how important it is. And, you know, I think that there's been some substance there, too.
I would say that he does seem to want to go to war with everybody. Putin's a terrible guy, but totalitarian regime, not quite. Iran, it was sort of without limits. But on the other hand, that doesn't distinguish him from any of the Republican candidates. So.
But now, what about the Ron Paul factor? I mean, nobody's really talking about him, but, you know, he's going on the air tomorrow in New Hampshire. I mean, maybe potentially, you know, could he hurt McCain, you know, taking some of those independents away from him, or...
If he hurts any Republican, it will be McCain, because McCain's yesterday's maverick. This is serious maverickism, Ron Paul.
And does Ron Paul, I mean, will we still be talking about him in 2 months, or is he just a passing fad?
I can't imagine. But, no, Ron Paul is actually a true conservative. He wants to eliminate Social Security. He wants to go back on the gold standard. He's the real thing. These other guys, in some sense, aren't. But I don't think that's enough.
Is he the Republican version of Howard Dean? You know, will have a big impact because of resonance with the true believers, but ultimately not.
I think the Republican Party isn't structured the way the Democratic Party is. I can't just, you know, there isn't that kind of, there isn't an independent base in that sense. It's much more organized, so I can't see it. But, you know, it is interesting. I have to actually talk to people who are somewhat liberal who hear him on the war and like him. I say, do you know what he says about Social Security? Have you thought about that? So he's got a lot of appeal.
As long as we're talking about New Hampshire and the Republicans, George Will, Rudy Giuliani this week, Red Sox fan. What's your reaction to that?
He's going where the votes are.
He's going where the votes are.
I mean, a Yankees fan's not supposed to like the Red Sox, but about a...
Good. So, I think it's, you know, it's interesting that Ron Paul is just a topic of conversation. He's just a topic of conversation there. That's significant. There's buzz. People are talking. And it's nice that they can say something like George Will saying, well, he is a serious maverick, you know, he is definitely not the same old, and that there's recognition of that. And, you know, the recognition that he is a true conservative. Now, there's lack of recognition, apparently, about how far that can play. Personally, I think it can play all the way if we had time. What we don't have to have the freedom message heard and understood and accepted is time. And that is the factor. The conditions exist. The conditions politically, socially, economically, on every level exist for this message to take hold and take over, but it will possibly take more time than we actually have. So that is going to be the problem that we face. So there's some positive elements there. Now I want to talk about the Fox News talking about Ron Paul supporters using the internet to spam this on their technology page of Fox News. Ron Paul supporters may be using botnets. Ron Paul supporters may be using email spam and dirty tricks to increase support for their presidential candidate on the internet. This is clearly a criminal act in support of a campaign which has been committed with or without its knowledge. University of Alabama at Birmingham computer science, computer forensics expert Gary Warner told Wired News. Warner was referring to a wave of pro-Paul emails that flooded the internet after the most recent Republican presidential candidates debate on October 21st. The emails had subject lines such as Ron Paul wins GOP date, blah, 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 with lots of letters and random letters, and Ron Paul exposes Federal Reserve with lots of random letters. At the end, the funny character strings are common methods to defeat spam filters. Warner says his lab traced the emails back to servers in Asia, Africa, South America, and Europe, signifying that whoever sent them may have used a botnet or worldwide network of hijacked computers to pump out massive volumes of email. This is the first I've heard about this situation, Paul campaign spokesman Jesse Benton told Wired News. So this made it to Wired Magazine and Fox News. And I did receive an email from somebody.